Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Do you plan to roll the payroll backward?
This year, we need to be under the CBT.
There's only two significant ways to crack at that number and get under it. One is if they could find a trade for Martinez. The other one will upset New England quite a bit. Mookie Betts.
You know, made it known. This is my second home. Been here. This is all I know. Doesn't change the business of baseball.
I was impressed by Baltimore to some degree. I think if this is how you want to play football and you want to take your quarterback and turn him into a running back who also happens to pass every now and then.
Man, that's a video game right there.
Then that's great. You can't sustain it.
Even if I had Tom Brady as my quarterback, I would run him once or twice per game.
When you're frustrated and when you're angry, what's the biggest mental challenge that you face as you go through a long season?
And sometimes when the outcome isn't the way you want, doubt creeps into your mind. I think you have to return to what the process of winning is.
Know your job!
Right now.
Mike Francesa appears to rip, fought while ripping Adam Gase.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
That happens. Don't worry about it, Mike. You're fine. Don't even worry about it.
So, it's out there. The Patriots lose a game on Sunday night. Yeah.
A lot of self-doubt.
Build up of the defense was probably a little too much, comparing them to the 85 Bears. Maybe a little too much. So, but the chopping down of the New England Patriots in 2019, bringing them crashing down to earth, is hysterical.
There's a lot of happy people.
Yeah, but we've seen this before. This is what the Patriots, they don't win every single game. One year, they won every single one of the 16 regular season games.
Okay.
Other than that, they lose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five.
They do.
Five's a lot.
They
okay,
lost five.
So let's do this.
Five last
let's just
year.
Play this game all over because I feel like we do this every single year.
We do.
I ask the question that everyone has been dying to ask, yet doesn't have the balls to ask it.
Not like you. You're the only one with balls.
What makes this year different? Go, Lou Maloney, front row.
I would say the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team.
Or the year before that.
Nope. Between this year's and last year's team, when we weren't sure who they had a strength. And that strength was a healthy and very good offensive line. Their strength was a all-pro fullback. And their strength were two of the best blocking tight ends in football. Their strength was running the football. And that's why they ran for 161 yards a game in the playoffs, the best in the NFL, and won a Super Bowl. That is the biggest difference. They went from that great offensive line, that great running attack, to just one of the worst running attacks in the NFL.
Okay, but when did you realize that's what their strength was?
Week 14.
It's not. I'm not playing a game. Like, okay, I'm just saying.
I should have realized it sooner. Did you? Okay. Do you remember when you said, "Oh, geez, they're going to be really good running the football. Like that could be their strength."
Week 14. We didn't know because Gordon was a big part of their. They're screwed. They're done.
I'm actually amazed we waited this long to say what makes this year different. Probably the fact that they didn't lose a game, but probably force you into just kind of being okay with it. Maybe you see ghosts.
I would say of all of the years, though, Christian, you could look back at last year and say there was far more uncertainty deep into the season in 2018 than there was in most years that we've been following this team. So I understand why last year...
You had four losses.
Yes.
That's four
right,
big losses.
Right, and I understand why people were jumping off the bandwagon. First of all, they lost late in the season to Miami, late in the season to Pittsburgh. They never do that. They didn't have an identity and suddenly, out of necessity, decided, okay, we're going to run the football. We can do that. I think this year, a loss on Sunday night to Baltimore, which does happen over the years... I think this is a normal thing.
To me, this is...
This is very normal.
This is... The farther away I get from that game, the more okay I am with it.
Me too.
Especially with the fact that I told you guys about this yesterday, that the whole team took like a group picture.
That's the dumbest thing.
It just showed. It just identified how much energy and resources and just time
Jaguars
they put
2.0.
in. It's exactly what it is.
It almost makes you wish like your team put that much energy.
Well, that's okay.
And time.
That's
into
okay.
It.
They didn't have two weeks off.
I'm not going to rip them for putting a lot of energy and time
Do you
into
think
a
that
big
it's sustainable to have that
the picture
much?
Was stupid.
There's a reason why upsets happen.
Not everybody's going to do it the Patriot way.
No, okay. Upsets happen because one team just puts it identifies this team as Giants, and they try to sit there and go, okay, how do we kind of judge ourselves? So if we beat them, that means, you know, we're here now. We've arrived.
So you think they slip up next week in Cincinnati?
I wouldn't be surprised. Go back to last year. Every time a team beat the Patriots, the Detroit Lions, the Tennessee Titans, they lost the next week. The emotional low that comes with a big giant upset in prime time, there's a natural just deflation that goes on. And you go to practice on Wednesday and you go, geez, who are we playing this week? It's not nearly as well. You into it? Well, I'm into it.
All right.
I'm going to give you a lot of FE, a lot of fake
emotion.
I'll
tell you this much. Okay, let's say the Ravens lose next week to Cincinnati. Okay, does that mean they're going away? Does that mean that you're still not nervous playing them again in the playoffs because they lost in Cincy? They lost focus after beating you? They can't gain it back? Are they going to go in the tank? No. They might drop a game. I mean, I'm sure they're going. They have a very difficult schedule coming up. There's no question. But I just look at this team, and I would sit there and say everyone is relying on Isaiah Wynn, who has played a game and a half, to come back and continue to play at the level that you saw for six quarters and expect him to be healthy
pretty good for
the last six games. And I'm not so sure.
Well, you have no,
but I think you can count on that.
But you have no choice.
Well, you don't anymore. Yeah, right. Of course, because of the team you built and the lack of trades for an offensive lineman at the deadline.
You have no choice. And I think he will come back, and he is, even if he's not great, Lou, it's a huge upgrade from what you've
from
got.
From what we saw
with Newhouse.
In six quarters, yes,
I would
agree.
Looking at the football focus numbers, he is of 64 starting tackles. That's both right and left tackles. He right now is 62nd, rated 62nd.
Which I think is too high.
It might be.
I want to know who 63 and 64 is.
64. But I'm just saying, so then I look at that and I say, okay, well, the Patriots had, I think, you know, put three good drives together. One ended in a field goal, one ended in a fumble, and the other one they scored. So if they're going to run this high-tempo offense, then I look at another guy that's very important the rest of the year. Another guy that's injury-prone, and that's Rex Burkhead. To be able to keep him on the field and use he and James White in those roles. And he's another guy that has never proven that. You think Rex Burkhead's going to be healthy the rest of the year?
Hey, listen.
He might get two more games from him.
He's good for a college season. He's good for 10 games.
He might get two more games from him the rest of the year.
The one thing I will say, everything you're saying I can't argue with other than if you look back over the years, and last year was probably as desperate as we have seen after they lost Josh Gordon, who had been a big part of their passing game from week 3 to week 13, or game 3 to game 13. We have seen them in desperate situations before. And they tinker. They change what they do. They show you a different offense. They find a way of using their strength to make it work. The defense is not as bad as what you saw on Sunday night. The defense is still the strong part of this team, and the defense is still going to limit teams on how many points they're going to score. You have to improve your offense. I'm not sure you're going to be able to run the football with regularity, but maybe you alter some stuff to get it to do it, to work. We've seen this how many times over the years? We're stupid to sit here and say, oh, my God, they're just not good enough. They're not thinking that way.
I just think that they eventually just figure it out.
They figure it out.
And it looks like so last year looked nothing like the year before, how they ended. Like how they ended the season, how they kind of identified what they were good at and how they were going to attack people is completely different than how they ended last year. And the identity that was revealed to you, I would say, in the playoffs. The playoffs, they just flat out said, no, we are going to power football you to death. Here's what our strength is. It'll be different because here's what happens on a bye week. They put all the charts up there, put all the data up there. This is because you really have, you know, 8-9 games of real information where the stats actually matter. And then you go out there and say, listen, hey, we're terrible on third down. We are terrible at short yardage and goal line. That is what we're going to work on. We are terrible at running the football out of sub front. That is what we're going to work on. You guys go back to your offense, come up with a bunch of plays. Give me some options. Give me some ideas. And oh, by the way, hey, N'Keal Harry, you're starting against the Philadelphia 76ers, really. You're starting against the Philadelphia Eagles.
No chance.
And we're going to throw you the very first pass because we're going to send a message to everybody that you're a viable option
you're
now.
You're dreaming right
first
now.
Pass goes to N'Keal Harry
wake up.
Against the Philadelphia.
You're having a nightmare.
Wake up. You guys
up.
Keep reading it. You guys hate N'Keal Harry.
No, I don't.
You're worse
your
than Brady.
Does.
You're worse than Bill.
No, I.
Why do you hate him?
I don't hate N'Keal Harry. He's actually your third most important player. Because hopefully one is Wynn.
Okay,
Rex Burkhead.
Rex is two.
Yeah, because if you want to run this, you know, no huddle offense, and think that that's now your offense, then you better have Rex Burkhead. You better have him to go with James White because Sony can't do it. And then it's N'Keal Harry. And hopefully one day Tom Brady wakes up and says, you know what? This kid can take our offense to a different level more so than Phil Dorsett.
I don't think it's going to happen here.
It's not going to happen.
Not
so
soon.
I've never disliked N'Keal Harry. I've always just been realistic that Tom Brady's not going to bring him into this offense when it's nut-cutting time. After losing one game and going to Philadelphia and playing Dallas at home or Houston or Kansas City, and all of a sudden now, 3rd and 8, whatever. 1st and 10, a 7-yard pass so we can get 2nd and 3 is going to go to N'Keal Harry? No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
it's going to be Sanu. It's going to be Edelman.
I agree.
Until those guys break down and get hurt.
James White, who was a bigger part of their offense this past week. But listen.
Two catches.
Yeah, but he was a big. Well, he ran the ball.
Ran the ball.
Yeah.
See, I think I downplayed it because Ryan just reminded me. It wasn't just Tennessee and it wasn't just Detroit. It was every single team that beat them. Every single team that beat them lost the next week. That, to me, is an obvious sign, and you could see it with Baltimore, how lame they were showing everybody, exposing themselves, how important. And even Lamar Jackson postgame, we treated this like a championship game. Dude, you got 8 games left. You got 7 games left.
Yeah, that was stupid.
You're wasting all your bullets.
Yeah.
There will be a reckoning.
We'll
there
see.
Will be a come-to-Jesus moment, and they will not have the energy or the patience, or the discipline to play like they did.
Christian's walk of the week, Cincinnati.
If they lose to Cincinnati, then okay.
Oh, my God, that's right. Is that who? Damn it, that's a terrible game.
Yeah.
Maybe it waits a week.
Oh, that's the game you're talking about. I mean, you know, you just beat the Patriots, so now you're at Cincinnati, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. At Cincinnati? Oh.
Probably not going to hold
And you
through.
Just no. lose focus, and you're like, we just beat the Pats. We're going to walk in here and just bury them.
We're going to roll our helmets
maybe
out
it's a
and
tough
just
game.
Show up.
Yeah. I don't know. At Cincinnati?
See, let's have some fun and play together.
He's not playing anymore. But your issue with N'Keal Harry, this is what Lou does. Lou will take one of his questions. Let's say the question that he asked Bill yesterday.
Yeah.
You asked Bill, you go all in on N'Keal Harry because earlier in the day during his press conference with all the reporters, he wasn't having it. But I was actually amazed that he answered your question.
I thought he
would slap you around. Well, he did. Well, here's the question and here's the answer.
Obviously, N'Keal Harry's not activating the game. The fact you guys did run a lot of no huddle, fast tempo, did that play a role in it as well? Like he is sort of new and expecting him to be on the field and be able to handle the signals and was maybe a little bit too much to ask. Was that one of the factors why he wasn't activated? You don't stop, do you? You just keep going.
I mean, look, Lou, we have to make 7 players inactive every week, so... The ones that are inactive, we feel like there are the players that have a bigger role in the game.
Was it because of that no huddle, though? I mean, Gunner was out, so you were short a wide receiver. It just seemed like depth-wise, you used a lot of 3 wide receiver sets all game. It just figured, wise depth-wise, it figured he would maybe be active, but because of the no huddles, no chance.
Yeah.
Is he close to getting there? As far as what you need to see for him to, you know, crack the and be activated for
Game. We'll see. We'll see what happens this week. I don't know. We have a new team, new situation. Mm. See how we come out on the game plan, see how the week goes and all that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
The whole interview is just uncomfortable. But Bill, but let me tell you. Did you get a good feeling that you're suddenly going to see N'Keal Harry soon here? No, you don't. No, you don't.
How about Fitzy with Brady?
No, you don't.
How about that one?
No. Nope.
Which one with Brady?
Fitzy, sitting there just, you know.
Caught him off guard. Like, he asked him about some player that's not even on his team. Like, who, what?
Tom, were you at all surprised that N'Keal Harry wasn't activated for the game last night?
In what sense?
Just the fact that he was brought onto the 53-man roster. Had a couple drives stalled down there in the red area, and I know you guys would love to be able to get 7 instead of 3, and that's a big body first rounder that I know you've been looking forward to getting back out there.
Yeah. Coach makes all those decisions, so
right.
I just
when I'm an owner,
I go out
I
there and just
that.
Try to play. So,
hey, listen, don't shine too much on N'Keal Harry and what you've seen in 2 weeks. Like, just slow it down. I mean, you're pumping the kid up too much. I mean, he's a rookie. You're trying to get him in a big head here? Feel good about himself?
So, Christian,
slow down with the compliments right now to N'Keal Harry,
your first-round pick. You don't think there's something to that, Christian? Because I do. You know, Belichick, we all talk about Belichick. He hides stuff and doesn't say stuff. But he's going out of his way in the way he's really dismissing Harry.
Shouldn't this organization
dismissing him?
Shouldn't this head coach who drafted this kid in the first round? Shouldn't this quarterback who's been dying to get like just a dynamic weapon, you know, just to keep adding them to the repertoire, make his life easier? Shouldn't these guys be talking about this first round pick and mentioning him? I mean, hell, they asked him earlier too, Brady, as far as like, you know, what he needs maybe out of the guys the rest of the year. Does he even mention N'Keal Harry?
You know, it's a lot of mental and physical toughness we're going to need. You know, we'll need it from Mo. We'll need it from Jules. We'll need it from Phillip
and
the tight ends and the backs and the line and everything. So it's going to be a we've got a long, tough stretch ahead of us, and we're going to have to play our best football.
I mean, this kid's a first-round pick, right?
So?
I mean, so.
He didn't mention any of the rookie wide receivers. Didn't mention Meyer.
He hates him.
You think he hates Meyer? Because I think he loves Meyer.
I think he hates Meyer.
In what sense?
I think the only reason why he threw him because he had to. There was nobody else. Gordon was out. Dorsett was out. He's like, I got to throw
him. What a surprise. The guy can actually catch. The guy's responsible.
Yeah, but
the
now
guy
the varsity's back, he doesn't want to look at him.
Well, now
Harry.
But when Mo, I'm going to call him Mo now because Brady calls him
Mo. Yeah,
Mo.
I call him Mo.
When Mo came back into the mix, he was easily number two.
Veteran.
And now three, four, five, everyone gets pushed down the line. Philip Dorsett, Meyer. I would say Meyer would
because
Meyer was
he
the one that was
him.
Suited.
Because he doesn't trust them.
You know, we'll need it from Mo.
So hold on. Where does trust come from?
Trust comes from running the right route.
No.
Being in the right place at the right time.
Trust comes from success. Jacoby Myers has had success. He has earned his trust. He's just not as good yet.
Yeah, when Sano showed up, he told him to go get his shine box.
No, he didn't.
He said, absolutely
did. Go sit at the end of the bench. When I call for you, I want you to be ready.
I
do not know when that time will come.
I do think he's ultra careful when he's throwing to these young kids because he's afraid they're going to turn, go the wrong way. He's going to throw the pick. It's going to be on him, even though he's not responsible, right? He's fearful of that. He trusts Edelman. He knows. I mean, Sanu, you could already see it with week two, how much he trusts him.
It's
a veteran who gets it. Understand.
Okay, fine.
That's a big difference. You were a kid one time. Look at the difference of when you
were
a rookie.
I was a man. I was never a kid. I came into the league a man.
Please.
But okay, so Lou asked a question, and it made sense because you're running these four wide packages, sub packages where you want to get multiple wide receivers out there. Well, you should probably have a lot of subs. They really only had one sub.
And he never
played. And I'm not counting
played.
Slater as a sub. Jacoby Meyer, well, they got lucky. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got tired.
Okay, but
and Olszewski didn't suit either because Sanu was taking. So they obviously needed the roster spot. They had to sit seven guys. They needed the roster spot. They were going to play a lot of defensive backs. And they needed those guys on defense. So they decided the risk was better served being on the offensive side. So they had Izzo. They had Watson. And they had all the other wide receivers. And the backup was Meyer. And Jackie Slater, geez, what am I going back? Matthew Slater was like a break glass in case of emergency. So if Edelman would have gotten hurt, Meyer would have went in. If Philip Dorsett got hurt, Meyer still goes in.
But you
Slater
find it
doesn't
strange,
go in unless two guys get hurt.
Three wide receivers set all game, right?
Yeah.
All game.
The whole game. Long. Izzo didn't play. Watson took every single rep. The only subs were the backs.
Okay, every single play. Dorsett took himself out for a game. They gave N'Keal Harry one play, and they put Dorsett back in.
Well, they gave Jacoby Meyer one play.
Is that odd that you have three wide resets all game, and all three of them play every single snap, except for Dorsett pulling up for one? That Jacoby Meyers for one drive isn't like, hey, you know, give Dorsett a breather here. Good God, we're running fast.
Well, they're running.
Look at Edelman over here.
That was part of it, though.
Yeah,
they're running
also,
the no huddle, and they're not changing personnel groups.
Okay, think about the way the game played out.
For an entire drive.
You had two really good drives. The first two possessions were three and outs. Who's getting tired in that situation?
Was four and out.
Okay, so who's getting tired in that situation? So you fast forward to the second half. You have a great drive. Edelman fumbles it. Now you sit back and you go back onto the field again, and then you have your best drive, 11 plays. Everybody stayed on the field. They finished it. They score. So, and after that, they held the ball too long. Nobody was getting tired.
You ran fast. No question, right? But you had James White in there sometimes. You had Rex Burke in there sometimes. You'll get Jacoby Meyers in there one time for Philip Dorsett.
They don't need him. Philip Dorsett is fine.
The wide receivers are running all over the field.
Doesn't matter. They're
on a
sprinters.
No huddle for the entire game. And you don't think it would be beneficial to take one of them out for a series give them a breather?
The offense, first of all, I don't think Philip Dorsett even caught a pass. I don't think they even looked his way. It was all Sanu and Edelman and a little bit of a Ben Watson sprinkled.
No, he just likes having them out in the field. He doesn't want to use them. That's the point.
Got fast.
If you trusted and actually forced yourself to use N'Keal Harry, I think you'd find out that he's a better option than Philip Dorsett. And your offense has another level. Maybe if this kid, you can get some production out of.
Why aren't they using him
instead of Philip Dorsett?
Why aren't they using him if that's the case?
Because he doesn't want to.
Okay.
He doesn't trust him.
And a lot of people thought he was going to be active this past week, and they were going to set him up with a specific personnel group. Maybe that happens down the road against a specific team, an opponent. But you already said it. They don't need Myers right now. Okay? So why do they actually need another receiver at that spot?
I'm telling you, there's it is odd that you have a first round pick and you activate him to the 53-man roster and he practices for almost 3 weeks. You have an opportunity to play where you need bodies and you decide to sit him.
They don't think he's ready.
I sit there and say they made a decision based on how many bodies they needed on defense. That's why I think that's
part of it, because they added a body.
So who do you sit?
So that's part of it.
So greatest I think in a, yeah, well, they could have, the
they could have set Myers and activated the first round draft pick as opposed to an undrafted.
I think Meyer was a safer bet based on the fact
because he's further advanced into what they're doing.
He's just farther ahead. So maybe this wasn't. It's not. I don't think it's because he's not a good player. I don't think it's because they just said, you know what, it wasn't worth the risk there.
But he's not ready. He gave the answer. Bill gave the answer to Lou. How many plays are you going to play him out there? They played guys that they thought were going to be able to contribute. They were going to put him on the roster. How many plays was he going to get? How many did you say that Myers got?
One.
Okay, he got one. How many was Harry going to get if he was active in this game? And instead you had an extra defensive player, which they were rotating all of these guys defensively, right?
Okay, so whose spot does he really take? If he's not at that point in time, he's not ready. No, Philip Dorsett is not coming out. In that situation, there's too much respect, and Brady actually named him.
Forget about respect.
He named
respect.
Mo. He named Jules. He named Phil.
Start talking about talent.
In a matter of weeks, just like Josh Gordon, if you remember, Philip Dorsett was getting all the reps, getting all the plays. Suddenly, Josh Gordon shows up. Philip Dorsett disappears. He's on a milk carton. Nobody knows where he is.
Why?
Because Josh Gordon had a bigger upside.
Because
even by running slants and goes.
Yes.
That's it.
No, because,
but he's also a vet. He's been in the league forever.
He's a vet.
So it was easier.
You're right about the first point, which is why N'Keal Harry should be playing, but he's not a vet, and he won't put him out there. And he won't. Honest to God, N'Keal Harry, he didn't play last week. They got what, seven games left? No, eight games left?
They got seven games left.
Over, under, 5.5 catches.
Over. Over. I'll even put it at 15
from
with
Tom
three
Brady.
Touchdowns. Over or under.
From Tom Brady.
I'll
5.5
You know
catches.
What? I'll actually put money on this
I'll
right here,
under.
Right now. Right here, right
under
now.
Under 15.5
$100, 15.5, one touchdown.
Do I get Stidham as a quarterback for some of those?
15.5 catches.
That's
I
the
take
problem.
The under.
He makes, yeah. he catches 15
yes.
passes.
Boy, I don't well, know. That's a good, I I'm
lock
in.
It in.
Do you remember,
lock
Bill, we asked him.
I'm in. Everybody's heard it.
We asked him about Harry. Was it
I meant 11.
We asked him about Harry 2 weeks ago, and he said, if or when he returns, if. Why would you throw the if out there? If?
Well, I mean, you gotta express
well,
doubt. I mean,
there,
you never know. Nothing's going to be a definite with Bill. He's not going to say something where you're going to hold him to it and something changes like it always does. He knows that. Is that stupid? Are you calling Bill stupid?
No.
You're calling him stupid.
Calling
I think
stupid.
He heard him just,
I'm telling
I heard
you,
you just say,
I'm,
you
I'm
Bill
telling
stupid.
You, I don't think he is where they want him to be. And he has brought up numerous times, you know, he was out injured. He didn't spend a lot of time with us. Tom has brought the same thing up when people have asked him about Harry. I think he's so far behind everybody else that for you to think in the next couple of weeks they're going to just pluck him
I
in.
Don't
he's
think
gonna
he's that
be,
far behind.
He's going to be a valuable you know, part
a
of their
first
offense.
Round
I find
pick.
It hard to believe.
He's
I,
going
I get
to
that.
Play
I get
in
that.
Their next game.
You find it odd, though, that these guys don't even they don't pump him at all?
Yeah.
What, they don't even mention him?
Who do they pump? Who do they pump up? Especially a rookie. They don't do it. I'm trying to think of a rookie.
He pumped Gunner
the last
earlier
rookie,
this season. He pumped
the
Gunner.
Last rookie that had.
Pumps up Philip Dorsett for no reason.
Philip Dorsett is different. A vet guy, been there. There's a different relationship that goes along with that. The thing is that Brady needs to kill Harry. I'm sure he's pumping his tires like crazy.
He realizes that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
I think
he would rather go
practice.
To battle with Jules, Sanu, and Phil.
And you say, you know what? I don't like you, rookie. Beat it. No
I'll see
autographs.
You next year. I won't show up at OTAs, but we'll work on it in July.
I think you guys are insane.
Easiest $100 I ever made in my life.
You think so, huh?
Under 15
why don't you go spend it right now?
As a matter of fact, I might.
Why don't you go to the store and say, listen,
technically,
I'm going to win
$100
bucks
a double
soon.
Or nothing, though, because of that bet that I won from you before? Well,
no, first of all, that technically you lost that bet.
It's an IOU.
Just put an IOU. Why don't you guys just put IOU? This is Belichick.
So far, Solaire's just spit on both.
$100 bucks. Ding, ding.
This is Belichick before the Jets game on Harry.
Yeah, well, we only saw him for 2 weeks in camp. He was injured in the Detroit game, and he's making progress, but he had a long way to go, and some time's passed, so he's been able to do some things. There's been other things he hasn't been able to do. So if and when he gets back on the field, then we'll move from there and evaluate those areas.
If and when?
Well, he got back on.
But does he sound any more enthused about the guy?
No, he hates him too.
He certainly has.
I can't believe I'm going to have to adopt this kid and just protect him from you guys. You guys are just attacking this poor kid.
He certainly has questions.
Did something wrong.
No, hold on. I'm not.
You are. You're attacking
your coaches.
Him.
You're
just
I want him out there.
Bully, Lou, is what it is. That's what it comes down to.
Here's what it takes, okay? This is what it's going to make me, you know, I'm going to feel bad about it. But I want Dorsett to go down. I want him to get hurt.
You want them to have no choice.
I want them to have no choice, which is the only reason why Jacoby Myers was 4-for-4 and 5-for-5 in back-to-back games, because he had no choice. So I want someone to get hurt. Not for the season. Nothing really bad. I want a couple weeks. I want someone down for about 2 weeks and make this really guy
you know
throw
to
N'Keal Harry, because in the long term, he'd be the best thing for this team.
He wants a Jaylen Brown infection. That's what he wants. Keep him out for a couple weeks.
No mono.
Get him
you
back.
Want him to get mono?
Yeah. No mono. Somebody to get mono.
Let's get back to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Joyce is in a car. Joyce.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, good.
What's happening,
Joyce?
I'm
very excited.
Oh, yeah. Question for Christian.
All right. Answer for Joyce.
It's just Joy. There's
it says Joyce here. Joy?
Yeah.
Okay.
When scripting plays, right? You know how they do that?
Yep.
Do you really just go straight through them? Or, like, if there's a turnover and you get the ball at their 40, do you have a different set of script for that situation generally? Or
nope. Let's say you start with a 3-and-out. As soon as you get back on the field, you start with play 4. And if you throw an interception on play 6, you come back the next area, you go to play 7. Because really what you're doing with the first 15 plays, and some guys only do 12, you're trying to just identify what that defense is going to do to your formation and your personnel groupings. It's all information that you're gathering for the third quarter and the fourth quarter. You want to see how they play it. So you give them a look, you run your best plays, and you go from there. That good?
Now, do you have? Yeah, it makes sense. It's just, do they have like scripted plays for just say like beyond that? So
no, you have a
you'll have the 30.
You'll have you'll have your red zone plays. You'll have your fringe plays. You'll have your goal line plays, but they won't be scripted. They'll just be lined up and from best to worst, and then you just pick whichever one you want based on the flow of the game.
Clyde is in Baltimore. Another Ravens fan. Hi, Clyde.
Yep, nothing but excuses, huh, Orway? I mean,
excuses about what?
You guys said the only reason the Ravens won is because they treated it like a championship game.
No, I didn't say it. They won because they outplayed the Patriots. That's why they won.
No, you said that.
Yeah, one of you guys said that. I mean, exactly. I mean,
said what?
For some reason,
said they overhyped it.
They did overhype
it. Played
it
like a championship.
No, but no, that's not why they won. No,
What's wrong with that?
No, you separated it. No. They won the game because they outplayed the Patriots, Clyde. After the game, sitting there taking the pictures and doing all of that stuff, that's dumb. That's stupid.
He played tonight like it was a championship game. We just got to keep going.
Right, that's dumb.
Oh, that's your quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
That's all.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. Listen, we can say all that, but we all know the Ravens, the Patriots don't have a great defense. And Orwell, you said the Ravens secondary was garbage. But I'm pretty sure the secondary, not just Lamar Jackson, helped them get the win. If for some reason, out of all teams, WEI always hit the Ravens for some reason. I don't know if it's
because you guys don't. Hate them. We hate them. We hate them.
Number one, Clyde, I agree with you. These two guys are idiots.
Hate them.
I was on your side.
Hate the Ravens.
And it's not hate.
We hate the Ravens.
Honestly,
we have our own.
It's respect.
We have our own.
They're not intimidated by your team. They have a coach that's not intimidated by your team. And he just showed you, whether it is Suggs, whether it's Reed, whether it is Ray Lewis, he can bring a new crop of players in here. That are not intimidated by your team.
I
respect them.
I mean, when you're a young franchise with two Super Bowls before the Patriots even got that first, I mean, of course that's going to be like insulting. I guess that's why. Maybe Orway, I know Ortway hates Ray Lewis. I don't like Ray Lewis either. Right. But, I mean, that's not...
I like Ray Lewis. I'd like to see him in that white suit again, though.
My top five.
See, that's not right. See that, Clyde? See what he did there?
What?
He's showing how much hatred he has for Ray Lewis.
I like to see the white suit.
Thank you, Clyde.
But I don't get what you're saying.
All right, Clyde. See you later, bud. Thomas and Gardner. Hello, Tom.
Yes.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, just if it's okay, I wanted to just switch it up and get your candid thoughts on the Bruins game tonight.
Okay.
Specifically, we have our captain playing in his 1,500th game.
Right.
And I want to know what you guys think if the Canadiens will have the decency or lack thereof to maybe give him a little tip of a cap to the NHL.
Oh, jeez. Okay? I fell asleep.
Wake up. You're having some problems today.
Moving on. Hey, Tom.
I think they will call the cops and arrest him.
Yeah, Fourier, hockey insider.
Yeah, Tom, I'd be worried about that. If you're a Bruins fan and you want to see them recognize his 1,500th game. Now, the one thing they might have going for him is...
Why wouldn't they?
You're going to be watching it on TV. NBC Sports, it's a network game tonight. They'll make a big deal of it. They'll make a big deal. But inside the arena itself, I mean, what do you think? They're going to play video or something? No. I wouldn't expect
that. If he was a basketball player, they would.
You really think they're going to give Chara a standing O in Montreal?
No way.
Well, part of me wants them to totally avoid it and maybe light a little bit more fire, you know? I think there's something to be said about that.
So it'd be disrespectful if they don't acknowledge it.
It would be, in a way. But when do you do it?
Because it's not like achieving a goal, you know, achievement or whatever. Yeah. It's his game. So when do you do it? Do you do it in between the periods? When do you do it? I don't think they do anything. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, maybe they put it up on the board and say it's his 1,500th game, and let's
the
move
Bruins
on now.
Should do it in the first TV timeout. Oh, right?
Of course they
would. He's played.
What do you give
now
to
that
the
he's
man
played.
Who has everything?
Yeah. But Montreal are not going to do it.
They're not going to do it. But you watching it as a viewer, you're going to see they'll make a big deal about it. They'll show the old clips, you know, with him in the past, and they'll do it on NBC Sports. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, they look like the third best team in the conference. And they are great at dominating inferior competition. Great. No team is better over the last 20 years at not beating itself, at letting the other team beat themselves before you even have to do anything. All of it. But in the playoffs, you got to beat real teams.
That is Nick Wright. You got to beat real teams. They never beat real teams in the playoffs, right? They don't know how to do that. They've never done that before.
I don't understand that reasoning at all. So wait, they mop up on bad teams. But come playoff time, boy, when you got to play really good teams, is that when they struggle?
No, that's when
because crappy teams make the playoffs.
They've tried.
Oh, I'm sorry. Crappy teams make the playoffs.
So if you can't beat good playoff teams, is that why you go to four of the last five Super Bowls? What is Nick Wright talking about?
Well, again, it's Patriots derangement syndrome.
It's a team that just won the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure they beat three good teams to get there.
They did.
Then they lost the Super Bowl before, but they beat good teams to get there. They won it the year before that. They beat good teams to get there.
By the way, do you remember Nick Wright got all excited after the Chargers had beaten up Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, and he was all over it. They were going to lose to the Chargers. You remember that one? They're going to lose to the Chargers.
But was there anybody that would sit there and just bring that point to Nick, or do they just monologue and then go to the next monologue? Does anyone say, but Nick, they don't just beat up on bad teams. They went to the Super Bowl and won it. They've gone to the Super Bowl for the last...
Who's going to do that?
I would say that they're pretty good in the postseason as well, Nick.
I would say they don't lose to good teams and they dominate bad teams because that's what great teams do. They take care of business. They don't screw around. They don't, you know, play a little tickle fight with some of these crappy teams, let them believe they can stay in the game. They put their foot on their neck, and they just move on to the next one.
But in the playoffs, you got to beat real teams.
Does he have the most annoying voice in the history of the world?
You don't like his voice.
You know what? I think...
I think I still put Shannon Sharpe up there for me, because I...
No, but Shannon Sharpe has an obvious, like, speech impediment. So it's like...
Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady.
So it's there, and you kind of know it. This guy takes himself way too seriously. You know, I can't handle it. So when he's on set, it's this whole, like, you know, I'm better than everybody. I make so much sense. And you hear him, and you go, what are you basing your opinion on?
LeBron James derangement syndrome.
Oh, my God. He sounds like a psychotherapist. That's what he really sounds like.
That clip diving stuff scared.
It was such a stupid statement to make. By the way, what are the two teams above New England? Baltimore, obviously. And what was the other one?
It's got to put Kansas City above them, I would imagine.
Why?
Oh, I don't know, but you tell me.
Kansas who else City would it, twice last year. Kansas
I mean, who
City
else would it be? Would he put Houston in front of them?
Houston, they haven't. Who have they beaten so far this year? So, they beat Kansas City, well, see, but Kansas City is playing with backup quarterback.
Like, what'd you say? Some power rankings. I know Pro Football Talk had them fourth. You know, San Fran's obviously number one. They haven't lost yet. Granted, you know, I don't know who they've really beaten either.
Yeah.
They got a nice test here Monday night. But, I mean, the other teams, they have, you know, listen, Baltimore's got a couple signature wins. They beat you. And they beat Seattle.
I do love it.
So I don't have a problem putting them, because you. What are your signature wins?
So they're showing up at fourth, and I think that's the lowest I've seen them. Maybe I did see somebody pick them at five today.
Got to penalize
in these power
them
rankings
for losing,
right? But that's part of it. I have no
first big challenge, and you failed.
They dropped to eighth and ninth last year. If you remember, they really dropped last year.
Well, they should have. And they should have. Back-to-back
absolutely
games.
The power rankings.
They were 9-5.
Mean absolutely nothing. But what he's doing, what Nick Wright is doing, is where he really screws up. Is he's trying to teach us that they play really good teams.
But in the playoffs, you got to beat real teams.
Oh. And that's where the Patriots have struggled over the last 5 years.
Is he talking to? Is he talking to like some dude in middle America who never has watched a football? Or maybe it's some dude's mom or grandma. You know what? I want you to watch football. You know what you should do? You should listen to First Things First. You should listen to Nick Wright. He'll explain it. So what they do is, in the playoffs, you got to beat really good teams. It's only the good teams
and
make
they don't,
the playoffs.
And they don't do that very well.
No, see, this is where the even injury comes in,
won,
Grandma.
They have won three of the last five Super Bowls.
Oh.
He lost his glove. We call that a yard sale, right?
Unbelievable. So
Colin Cowherd has his power rankings. Here they are.
Number five.
New England. They're really good. But here's the issue, and it's not going away. They're not dynamic enough on offense. Tom Brady's last six games, think about this. 7 touchdowns, 5 picks, and 83 quarterback rating. Okay. There's nobody out there. They are totally dependent on Edelman and now Mohamed Sanu on third down. They have no over-the-top game. They're on a third-string left tackle and a backup center. They don't now have a dependable kicker. Their defense is really, really good. But at some point, you got to be able to get some cheap points. Does everything have to be an 11-play drive? They have to play perfect offensively. I mean, they really do. They just don't get any cheapies like Kansas City does. They don't get any freebie where Lamar Jackson's spinning out of a tackle and running for 50 yards. I have New England 5.
Well, for the most part, he's right.
I think he's right.
Yeah, I can't knock him at 5 or 4. And as I said,
they don't have anybody other than those two.
Yeah, who cares right now about that?
They could, well, if they do quarterback have James, trusted the rookie.
Hold on, they do have James White, who, by the way, I hate to tell Nick Wright, he plays really good against really good teams.
Because that's when the good teams show up. Because that's what
the good teams show up, and that's when James White shows up against these really good teams. I don't think teams have still these people that talk about it. I still don't think they understand how New England operates. Even going back to the Max Kellerman line. You know what Kellerman sees? Kellerman sees Bill Belichick face a team a second time. Didn't fare well the first time against them. And then they go in the playoffs when you see the really good teams.
Good teams.
As we just found out from Nick
Wright. Dangerous teams.
And they play them differently. Well, they play them differently because they probably realized that if we play them the same way we played them in the regular season, we're not going to be successful. It would not surprise me at all if Belichick plays much differently against this Ravens team if he sees them in the postseason. But that's not holding anything back. The holding anything back is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's like, we're going to lose the game in the regular season because the big games, when the big teams show up, is what it really counts.
Defensively, what I believed he did, would do was put stuff down on film that would not be there if they met again. And what he actually wound up doing, Belichick, was threw everything at Lamar Jackson in the offense. So he has a book on him now.
What does that mean? Everybody throws everything at a... You have film with Lamar Jackson against every team in the league in virtually every way they can operate.
I don't know. Maybe some truth to that.
How?
Well, I asked Bill that question yesterday. Did you hear his answer? He didn't exactly crap all over it.
Okay, play this. Because Lou suddenly thinks, you know, Bill finally at least talked to him and gave him an answer, and he thinks he actually
I thought he said yes.
No, I don't buy that. All right, we'll get it.
So I wanted to ask you, because we were just sort of laughing at some national people that were insinuating that you feel you'd meet Baltimore later in the year, that you would actually hold something back in a football game. Would you ever do that in playing a football team, thinking we might face them later in the year?
Yeah, it's 1 week business. So we're week to week and do the best we can each week to compete.
He did say
there
yeah.
There it is. I don't know what he's hearing.
The first thing he said was yeah.
And then you stopped listening?
Yes.
Because he continued on to tell you it was a week-to-week business.
I'll say this. I was really surprised. I thought that was going to get smacked down. I thought that was going to be one of the roll-the-eyes, stare-down.
Some people say, Bill.
You know, like, I mean, I don't know how you can play that. What I don't really care what people say. It's just ridiculous. The fact that he even answered it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you could say, well, he did smack it down. But, no, that's a normal answer from Bill. Would you ever do that in playing a football team, thinking we might face them later in the year?
Yeah.
See? He said yes.
No.
He said yes.
No, and then he says it's a week-to-week business,
He looked at me, gave me a wink, was like, you're on to something, Maloney.
Yeah, you got it. You're almost there.
Something. And you stole it from
Max Kellerman. I'm just surprised he even answered that.
No, I mean, I just think it's stupid. That's what Kellerman's seeing. So he watches Belichick coach against the team that he faced in the regular season and didn't fare well, and then he changes up everything he's doing. Would that surprise you if Bill does things totally different if he faces the Ravens again?
I think he's one of those error repeaters. He's like a crazy person. He's gonna do the same thing over and over again. He's gonna expect a different outcome.
Thank you for your dumbass
answer. He put a game plan to try to stop him, and then he might, as the game was going on, I'm sure he was self-scouting. He already has, and he knows exactly how he'll attack him next time.
What if it was this? Hey, Steve. Hey, Gerard. I feel like we're going to lose the game. I know what we're going to do. Throw out a bunch of different personnel groupings and different blitz packages, and I want to see how he responds. And he said it just like that. But
how about we wait until camp?
The Max Kellerman thing kills me because he has to, like, quadruple down on this. So he mentioned it like a week ago, and he keeps on bringing it back. And he actually thinks he's, like, right with this thing.
He's got plenty of time to prove his point, because if they do meet, just like Bill said, we know, Lou, they're not on the roster. I mean, they're not on the schedule at this point in time.
The game,
All right, so fine. We'll see you in the playoffs.
Week-to-week business, Lou.
You hope they play the – I mean, it would be – it's going to be interesting.
If they play them again and win, it won't be – and he'll have his moment, right, Max? I told you. He held something back. Look, he did something different. Well, yeah. It's just like last year when they tried to beat the Chiefs and they put a game plan to stop Tyreek Hill. And then they realized how fast he really was. And then they had a second game plan the next time they played him in the AFC title game, and he did nothing. But they won the first game. They tried to win the first. They tried to win Sunday night. They weren't good enough on that
night. I would even say
they did not throw the game.
See, the Tyreek Hill analogy, I think, is perfect.
It is.
And I'll even when you go back and watch the game, whether it's all 22 or not, even when Lamar Jackson breaks into the open field, you have to be real careful about how you just attack him, because he's got real field awareness. So he can see guys coming from his left or catching up to him. So he's just setting you up. So I saw one time when McCourty was chasing him, but he wouldn't go attack him. It's almost like he was just staying just enough where he could slowly close in on him. But at the same time, it allows Lamar Jackson to gain more ground. So you're trying to tackle him, and you're being real careful about it because you know how slippery he is. And if you overcommit and he catches you, you're screwed.
Cute little statement by Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll seems to be picking up all these ex-New England Patriot players, right? And he's got
Josh Gordon
in there. He's got Josh Gordon in there.
Marsh. Would you Jacob Hollister?
Yeah, those are ex-players.
The one that got away.
Are they?
They're ex-players.
Okay.
Yeah. So he was asked a little bit about, what do you notice about the guys that you bring in from New England?
What have you noticed about the guys that you've had that you brought in here who have spent time in the Patriots system, like Hollister?
that they're happy to be here.
So is he taking a shot?
Are you kidding me? Right across your bow.
This is Lane Johnson-esque.
That they want to be, that they're happy to be here.
We have fun here. They don't have fun there.
Because I'm not as strict.
It's a fear-based organization.
I'm not a taskmaster. I'm going to let you do whatever you want.
Right. We have more fun here.
Yeah, I only have a couple rules. You just show up on time and win. That's it. You can do anything else you want. And so Josh Gordon goes from Bill Belichick to Pete Carroll. So he's going to go from two different, majorly different personality types. How do you think that's going to work out?
Good one.
Honestly, how do you think it's going to work out?
Laugh. I mean, come on.
I think that's a direct shot.
Yes.
That one's easy to identify.
Well, let me ask you.
Happy to be
Do you think that Josh Gordon needs some type of structure around him?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think Pete Carroll is the perfect guy to set structure around
him?
Well,
what I would like to know is Russell Wilson calling him up and saying, hey, come on over to the house. Let's hang out. We'll get to meet the wife. We do a little karaoke every now and then because she's a singer and all.
Yeah, see, I don't look at
karaoke.
What I'm saying,
what's
I don't.
Your favorite
I'm
sorry, go-to
my
song,
wife's
though.
Pretty good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
She always wins. Yeah.
But it's not about Pete Carroll, though. You're absolutely right. It's about Russell Wilson. It's about Tyler Lockett, right? I don't think Metcalf plays a role, but I'm just saying it's the guys. It's Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, those guys. That's the support.
So do you get the feeling because they wanted to go for Antonio Brown? And passed on him and went with Josh Gordon. If you were looking at both guys, they're both troubled individuals for different reasons, okay? We get that. Aren't you taking Antonio Brown over Josh Gordon? Unless somebody's making a phone call to the league office and saying, if we bring this guy in, is this guy going to play for us? Why are these teams passing? Stephen A. went on yesterday, made a big, huge deal,
well,
or maybe
exactly
it was today,
why.
About going to the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles need to pick him up. Antonio Brown is a hell of a receiver, and yet right now he's still out there. He's pissed off.
That tells you something about the Antonio Brown situation. When they look at Josh Gordon's more reliable to be on the field for them than Antonio Brown.
How scary is that?
So that's where you're at. Yeah, and I think they're right. Right? I mean,
it has to
but
be.
Also,
if Philly announces they sign Antonio Brown like in an hour, doesn't the league put him on some kind of exempt list? Not that they should, for that matter. But
I don't think they should, but they might. But they may be scaring teams off by not telling them. So if you call the league office and you get somebody in there and you're saying, hey, help us out. Should we pick this guy up? Are you going to? I can't say anything. I'm not going to tell you. They're not finding out definitely that he's going to be available to play. But Philly needs a receiver now with Jackson down, right? They need somebody.
I don't know. I don't think they're going to put him on any exempt list.
Then why hasn't a team picked him up?
I think
yet?
Just the same reason why the Patriots bailed on him, because they just don't trust him and they're nervous about something coming up that they don't know about. Or some greedy, vindictive person.
We're talking the NFL.
I know.
We have seen guys with sketchier background than him get picked up by teams because they're desperate. There are a lot of desperate teams right now.
Of course, and Philly could really use him. But I just feel like Antonio Brown... He's his own worst enemy.
Well, he is, but he's also getting blackballed right now.
Well, you know what? It's his own damn fault.
I agree.
So all you have to do is just shut the hell up, and then you wouldn't give anybody a reason to dump your ass. So who is feeling sorry for Antonio Brown? Is anyone feeling sorry for
Antonio
Brown?
Well, how about this? I think Sunday Jay Glazer had this to say about Antonio.
Antonio Brown still out of the league because he has been suspended and no one signed him. What's the latest, though?
Yeah, now that the trade deadline's come and gone, teams want to know what his status is. Law enforcement is still dealing with the situation. When that's done, the NFL is going to interview him. What I'm told the timeline is now, in the next 10 or 14 days, they're planning to interview Antonio Brown.
Wait,
please.
So they're going to wait for...
Please.
They're going to wait for
law enforcement.
Why? He hasn't been charged with anything.
That could take months. What are we talking about?
He hasn't been. What has he been charged?
No, it's all civil suits.
Nothing.
Aren't it?
So, what are they talking about? Who? What law enforcement?
I think
law enforcement down in Florida was looking into to something with this woman. But no charges have been filed against them, and she hasn't filed any charges against them.
I mean, we're talking about week three, right?
Yes.
Patriots released him week three.
Yeah, he's being blackballed, guys.
So, I mean, here we are, week nine, you know, week 10, whatever. I mean, wait 10 to 14 days? How about interview the guy 10 to 14 days ago? Why are we going to wait another 2 weeks?
I don't understand it.
To interview him. You could have interviewed him week four, week three, week five.
Yeah, I think what...
Now you got to wait till week 11, 12?
I think what happened in the first few weeks and into the preseason was the killer, even with Hard Knocks. So the commissioner's looking at it saying, this is our 100th season, guys. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to make a big, huge deal. We're going to have a damn parade. And then Antonio Brown is taking away all of the headlines for the wrong reasons away from the National Football League. And I think this is the commissioner who was, you know, what an outfit he had on last night. He's sitting there pushing it aside, saying, just keep him away. Don't give the impression out there that we might do something, because he's definitely being blackballed. All right, we got last call. It is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Last Call.
And I'm thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Show brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule free pickup, 877 Cars for Kids, or at carsforkids.com. You know, it almost went unnoticed yesterday, and I guess it's baseball. Baseball can do this. The Washington Nationals showed up at the White House, and nobody talked about it. And the amazing thing is,
quick turnaround.
Yes, and the amazing thing is, Kurt Suzuki ended up wearing a MAGA hat in front of the president. You would have thought if that were the Patriots, that were the Red Sox, if that were any other team, could you imagine?
No.
The publicity that would get? Here is Suzuki.
Kurt Suzuki. Where's Kurt? Where's Kurt? Where is he? Come here. Come here. Say a couple words. Come on. Oh. I love him. Oh.
Put the MAGA hat on.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice.
I love you all. I love you all. Thank you.
That was it.
What a job he did. I didn't know that was going to happen. And by the way, Max, will you come over here, please? Come here.
Max Scherzer.
I asked the first lady, do you think I can throw a ball as fast as him? She said, yes, darling, absolutely. I don't think so. Go ahead.
My gosh, to be in this moment with everybody cheering for being at the White House. What a month.
So you beat the Mets in the bottom of the ninth. You score that 7 runs, including the amazing 3-run homer by Kurt. And the Nats, as always, they lived up to a motto. It's stay in the fight. That's true about life. Stay in the fight. You never know what's going to happen. Mm. Stay in there.
The worst, by the way, is
stay in there.
He was all excited because Suzuki was wearing the MAGA hat and he put it on. He got
somebody else other than Kurt Suzuki. Seriously, he got nothing for that.
Nothing.
Which I thought was like, you want to talk about courage? That's courage.
There's no criticism.
Wearing a MAGA hat?
So Trump got behind him, put his arms around him to hug him, but he had his hands right on his
breast.
Breast area. It was the weirdest.
Yeah, you're right. I wonder,
it was the weirdest look. It was bizarre.
They obviously,
Max, will you come over here, please?
They obviously did it in stealth mode on purpose,
yeah.
Right? You're in the nation's capital. You haven't, I mean, this is once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of, everybody just kind of hop on the car. Let's just go ahead.
Before
over
we
there.
Take off and separate, yeah. Let's get this over with now.
But yeah, still, let's not give everybody 6 months, 5 months just to sit it. Here and talk about it
but
and
I'm,
ask us questions.
I'm still amazed because Trump got booed a few nights before that at the game. So
come
I'm,
here.
I'm
say a couple words. Come on.
I'm a little surprised that it snuck under the radar. Kevin Harlan last night, double duty last night. Not only did he do play-by-play of the football game, but we had a pussycat out in the field.
Oh, there's a cat. A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
Black
at the
Cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday
oh,
night
right.
football,
yeah,
not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five. He's
Who brought
walking.
The cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Wow. Pretty good. Very
impressive.
Very creative. So some Giant fan just brought a black cat in there?
It's beautiful.
He's done that before, too, I think, with guys running in a baseball field or something.
Yeah, he's very,
a football field.
Very creative at doing stuff like that. Have you ever had an ACL before?
No.
Nope.
Nope, never had an ACL.
Thank God.
How about your wife? Has your wife ever had ACL?
Has my wife ever had an ACL?
Had an ACL, yeah.
She has two.
Am I getting too personal?
Is that like
she's
a never turned. Sexual question
She's never blown one out, but I think she's got
Well, there's a reason. We learned an awful lot about Mike Francesa in the last 24, 48 hours. He's got a farting problem. Second, he's going off of afternoon drive. And third, he has a theory now on ACLs.
So, Brian, women have more ACL tears than men do.
Yeah, Dr. Kodasko, I don't need to, give a pub, but he did a fabulous job.
Yeah,
and he
good.
Said, but the way the women are built, they're built differently, their hips, and it's just, I read a whole article.
Also, it has to do with menstrual cycle and everything else, too, right. They feel, and they have... Women have six to one surgical knees to men in college. 6-1.
Menstrual?
What
wow. The other guy had the answer right.
The other guy was the doctor.
If he could just, yeah.
Yeah, it's doctor.
Jeez.
It's like Larry the lawyer. This is Denny the doctor.
It has to do with menstrual cycle and everything else, too.
What
doctor told him that? Some doctor was just screwing
I have no
with
idea. Sure so there you go. The Frances has had a wild 2 days. So Mutt's all pissed off at us because every day what we do is we sit here and we reveal the secret guest, that he's going to have on the program.
Really, that was really your idea.
Right? Well, I thought we... Oh, now you're throwing it on me.
Because
Mutt happens to be in the studio.
If it's a bad idea, it was Glenn's idea. I think
exactly.
We're aware. If it's a funny idea, it was Christian's idea.
So
that's how it works.
We said, I tell you what, Mutt, why don't you come into the studio and give us the special guest.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
No guest tonight. No guest at all.
What?
No special guest. No.
First night we do this and there's no guest.
You guys, we deal with this.
What about Hannaby?
We said no thanks to Hannaby. Twice for Hannaby last week was plenty. We'll talk to Hannaby later on. So in this building, especially the way microphones work, we all share germs, so I don't want people coming in when they're sick. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. Like, if one of you guys is sick, just stay home. Bradford was going to come in. He yapped Red Sox for a little bit. He is sick, and so we are having him, stay home.
Well, he must be on his deathbed to miss some opportunity on the radio.
I know,
well, Mutt lay down the law, though.
Well, doesn't it bother you when you have someone coughing 3 feet from you for 4 hours?
Well, especially if you have kids.
Yes,
because it just makes it worse, right?
Or young kids in preschool, like I do, or young kids in first grade, they come home
So has he been texting you in the last couple hours? I'm feeling better. Honestly, I'm not coughing anymore. Can I come on?
Well, what he doesn't know is that Pete Abe may join us for a little bit. One of his other favorite guys.
And he'll be here.
Sneak them in.
I can't believe Bradford's missing this opportunity.
Well, he's really missing the opportunity Thursday. The buzz in the building back here about this live broadcast at Encore
Thursday
Boston Harbor for this power hour, this first hour. With Glenn, Lou, Hillman, and Keefe.
Oh,
ooh,
it's beautiful.
Baby.
So I got Hillman with me, huh?
You did? Well, you guys both do.
I'm a little upset about this lineup.
Why? So we go on from two to five, and you
sit
for an hour.
Freaking hour.
Okay. You're at a casino. Maybe it's selfish, but you're at a casino. They're going to give you nice food. It's awesome food
over
there.
Well, no, I'll tell you what I am
going to
do.
Eat for an hour, then go back in the air.
See, I'm going to make a night of it. My wife's going to come. We're going to have a little dinner.
Perfect.
Maybe a little chicken bow wow.
See, you have a perfect guy to give you an idea of what to do in your lonely hour.
So play some blackjack as well. On Thursday, 5 to 6, it's me and you, Glenn.
Yep.
With
Craig
Hill and Rich Keith.
That's the show, yeah.
What are we going to talk about?
It's going to be electric. No, I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk to him about Malcolm Butler and tell him to stop shaming me.
What?
Because I got a letter today, an email today, a letter in the mail. Belichick benched Malcolm Butler. I'm telling you, people care about this thing, Greg. Don't shame me into not caring about it.
Your cadence.
I got a lot of stuff to get off my chest.
Cadence.
It's going to be
good.
It's going to be dangerous.
It's going to be electric.
Dangerous Thursday night.
Very dangerous. A lot of Patriots coming up. All the place talk Patriots right here tonight.
Monday night coming up next. If you missed any of our show, remember you can listen to the entire program on radio.com. It's a new app, and you can use the new Rewind feature. If you don't have the app, just text app to 37937. Teddy Bruschi will join us tomorrow, as he does each and every Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow, too. We're out, boys. See ya.
It's over. We suck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.